Welcome, my friends, to the home studio here in my greenhouse once again. Glad that we can be together, at least in this way, today to study God's Word together. You know, it's been a long road already, and it looks like we have a long way to go yet as we're dealing with this virus. I keep hearing that things are getting worse in many parts of the country and that things are getting somewhat worse in Washington State, even as they're improving slowly here in Yakima. But we still have a long way to go here, too. My wife has been saying that our introverts in our family are doing great. The extroverts are having a little tougher time, but we're hanging in there too. I'm definitely one of the extroverts in the family. But you know, this is just a difficult time for all of us. Businesses being closed, others being, cut down in the number of people they can serve. Some people able to go to work full time, and that's great, and I'm so glad. Schools still uncertain about how they're going to function when they reopen. It's a tough time. So I thought before we get into our lesson today, why don't we just pray together for God's blessing on our community, on the state, on the nation, on the world, and ask Him to help us with this virus. I know we're praying about this individually, but let's pray together, even if it's, you know, at different times in different places as you're watching this recording, wherever you're at, whenever you're looking at it, listening to it. Still, we're praying with one voice. And so let's lift up our voice to God as we start. Our God, we pray to you with thanksgiving for your kindness and your faithfulness. Your love for us endures in every situation, and we are so grateful. And Lord, all of our hope comes from you, and all of our joy is inspired by you, and you are the foundation, Lord, of our strength. Dear God, we pray to you for our people here in our own church, here in our own city and county, in our state, in our nation, and in this world. Lord, all of us globally are having a difficult time, some more in some places than in others. Our nation seems to have it really tough right now. And our state, things seem to be getting a little worse, and we're hoping they don't get a lot worse, but that they get better instead. We pray, Lord, for your blessing on us all. And we pray for your blessing on our state and our community, that we may find ways to diminish the spread of this virus, that you would grant to those who are researching a possible vaccine success, that they may be a blessing to many people, and that we may be protected against the virus. We pray, dear God, that you would look on us and have concern for us, and that you would heal our land, that you would help us, Lord, and that you would restore us to normal life, and especially, Lord, for us who love you dearly, restore to us the opportunity to meet together in person, to worship you, to encourage one another without being afraid, without being socially distant when the time is right for that. We pray, dear God, for your blessing in all of this. We look to you for our strength and our help in all situations and no less in this one. We praise you, O God, and we look forward to the day when you will answer this prayer, and we pray that it may come soon, and that in the meantime, you would give us strength, deep love for one another, and eyes to see what needs each other have, and willingness and the resources to be able to meet those needs. Dear God, bless your church. Bless each one of us as we lift our prayer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes in life we plan to go left, but the Lord says, go right. And that can be very disorienting. You know, I never planned to be a preacher. I've told some of you this before. I intended to be a youth minister. I've always loved working with teenagers and children. I have two teenagers of my own, three children, and I still like teenagers and kids. Love them to death. I remember being confused when, in my mid-20s, God kept closing youth ministry doors that I tried to go through and gradually moved me more and more toward preaching. That was confusing to me. It wasn't what I had in mind. It wasn't what I thought God was calling me to do. But it has turned out to be very, very good. And I still thoroughly enjoy working with teenagers and children, too. And I'm glad to be in a situation where I have the opportunity to do a little of that even as I continue preaching. Back in March, we were hoping to get through this pandemic quickly, but God called us instead to endure for a while. That's very frustrating. We want to be done with this pandemic, but God says endure. And He gives us strength to help us, but it's still disorienting and confusing and frustrating. In college, there was a woman named Anne Hobby. She was in her, I would guess, mid-40s. She and her husband had raised a family. Their youngest was, I think, in high school. She was a mentor to me. She was my supervisor at my job in the school library. I went to Harding University, a Christian school, and so most of the staff and faculty were Christians, and she was as well. And she was a godly influence in my life. I've often thought of her and with tremendous gratitude. Well, she told me one day that when she and her husband, Ken, were finishing college, they were looking forward to becoming missionaries. That was their passion. They believed that was their calling from God. And so when college was done, they began to do fundraising. They traveled here and there and gave a presentation. Here's what we plan to do, where we plan to go. They asked for money, and they did not get much back in. In fact, they were continually frustrated. They would pray and pray, God, if you want us to go on the mission field, give us the funds we need. And the funds did not come in. And so they could only surmise that it was not the will of God for them to go on the mission field. And that was devastating to them. It was disorienting. It was frustrating. It was scary. Finally, they decided that God must be pointing them elsewhere. Turned out that Ken had an interest in psychology, and so he went back to school, got his doctorate in psychology, took a job teaching psychology at Harding University, where I ended up going to school. Anne, his wife, became a librarian there at the school. That's how I met her. And together, over the years, they blessed thousands of young souls. They may have had a greater impact for the kingdom of God than if they'd been missionaries overseas. And as a bonus, their daughter and her husband later became missionaries themselves. So that missionary impulse still runs strong in that family. God did not waste that passion, but He did direct this couple in a way they had not expected. And it was disorienting to them at first, though it worked out very well in the end. Well, sometimes God calls us to go a different direction than where we thought that we should go. Now, He can do that because He is God over our lives. But when He does, it can be scary, it can be confusing, it can be disorienting, because God doesn't always say, I'm taking you to this destination. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says about Abraham. We're continuing our series, A Great Cloud of Witnesses, from Hebrews chapter 11. We've looked at witnesses of faith, heroes of faith in the times before Jesus, what we call the Old Testament period, going way back to the early days of the human race. Abel, Enoch, Noah, we're gradually working our way through biblical history. And next, the writer takes us to Abraham. And so in Hebrews 11, verses 8 to 10, the writer says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. God called Abraham to go to a new place, to leave behind everything he knew. It had to be a bit disorienting, especially because, as the writer points out here, Abraham did not even know where he was going. He only knew that God said, go. Do you know that feeling? Have you ever been in a place where God said go, but he didn't say exactly where? He just says in this direction, and so you begin to go, but you don't know exactly where God's taking you? I think to some degree, we all feel that way right now as we're dealing with this pandemic. God says go, but we don't know for how long or how, you know, exactly which way. And all did not go smoothly once Abraham was in the promised land. He was a stranger there, the writer reminds us. He was the immigrant. He lived in tents, moving about from place to place. So did his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob after him. Following God's call in this new land was not easy. The story of God's calling of Abraham is in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 12. At this point in the story, Abraham is still called Abram. That was the name his parents gave him. Later, God will change his name to Abraham. And his wife's name is Sarai. Later, God will change her name to Sarah. So let's pick up Abraham's story in Genesis 12 and verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. In the whole big story of the Bible, this story is foundational. Abraham's calling in this passage becomes the launching point for God's work in the nation of Israel. God promised to bless Abram and make him into a great nation, to bless all peoples on earth through him, and that nation will become the nation of Israel, the descendants of Abram and Sarai. Through Israel, Jesus will come, and through Jesus, God will bless the whole world. It all starts with God's call to Abram here to move to this new land that God will show him, where God will grow Abram's family into a new nation. In verse 1, God gives Abram this command: "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household." And so he calls Abram to leave his place of security, his place of safety, and to go where God will send him. When God calls us to something, he also calls us away from something. There's always a cost to following God's call. If he calls you to care for a sick person, then he's probably also calling you to give up some of your free time and some of your flexibility to minister to this person. If he calls you to be a college professor, he may be calling you to give up your dream of being a missionary. If he calls you to move to Alaska to start a church in an Arctic village, he may be calling you then to leave behind the ministry you serve in and really love here in Yakima. God called Abram to leave his country, his people, his father's family, basically his whole identity, everything he knew, and go wherever God was about to send him. Again, in verse 1, God says, "Go to the land I will show you." And the writer of Hebrews pointed out for us, Abram didn't know where God was sending him. And we don't always know where God is sending us, at least not at first. He says, I'm going to close this youth ministry door, but hang in there and be faithful. And I'm saying, wait, I thought I was supposed to go through the youth ministry door. I don't know what comes next. If you close this door, I don't know if I have other doors. But God says, hang in there and be faithful. And I can't see yet that he's preparing a college ministry position for me. And later, a really great preaching position in the Pacific Northwest, back in my homeland, where I grew up. It'll be exactly the kind of position that I prayed for. God often says, come with me in this direction, but doesn't explain exactly where he's leading us, which is part of the adventure for Abraham, right? And for us too, that we get to discover where God is leading us as we go. But it's disconcerting too. It's disorienting, especially when we thought we were supposed to go left, but God says, go right. In verses 2 and 3, the word bless or blessing comes up 5 times in 2 verses. It is the theme of this section of the story of God's work in Abraham's life. For all the disorientation here, all the risk in going Abraham doesn't know where, God assures him that his going will make possible a tremendous blessing, both for Abram and for the world. But these blessings will only come to Abram and his descendants if he goes where God's sending him. Verse 4, on the basis of his faith, Abram goes. The book of Hebrews says, by faith, Abraham went. But what happens if Abram says no here? You know, what if he likes his home too much? What if he doesn't feel comfortable going to a place that he doesn't know? What if he doesn't feel comfortable with that, even if it's God who's sending him? What if he just says no? Well, God surely will still work out his plans to bless the world. He'll just do it some other way. He'll find someone through whom to do it, but Abram will lose his special place in God's plans, and he will risk losing his relationship with God. The blessing will go to someone else. Again, in verse 4, Abram, we hear, is 75 years old. Later, we'll find out that Sarai, his wife, is 10 years younger than he is, so she's about 65 here. What is God thinking? Calling a man who is 75 years old, his wife who's 65, to move his whole life and whole household to another country he's never been to? What is God thinking? But the lesson here is that God may call us to change direction at any point in our lives. Remember Moses, who comes 400 years later. Moses was 80 years old when God first called him into his service. We do not retire from being directed and redirected by God, no matter what our age is, until he takes us home to be with him. So if you are the age Abram was when God called him, or thereabouts, then my friends, be ready, just in case, because you never know when God might call you to something new. My prayer for myself is that the older I get and the more I grow in faith, the more malleable I would become in God's hands. I want to be a person who, at whatever age I am at a given moment, is ready to go wherever God sends me. That's hard, and sometimes it's disorienting. But I love God, and I put my trust in him. I know you do too, and so that's our prayer. In verse 5, Abram took with him his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the people he had acquired in his household, so his slaves, his servants, his workers, and their families. Think about Sarai's faith here as she goes with Abram. We'll hear more about her faith next week. She went with Abram when God sent him to this new land. We have no information about her thought process process here. Was she willing or unwilling? Was she eager or resistant? Did she complain or did she rejoice? Good, we're finally getting out of this place, going somewhere better. We don't have any idea. All we know is that God called Abram to go, and that meant Sarai went too. And also Lot's father had died. And so apparently Abram had become something of a father to his nephew Lot. And Sarai went because Abram, of course, was her husband. So if you're married, think about this. If God calls your spouse to a new path, well, that will mean that God is calling you to go with them on that path, to be supportive to them in some way, to share it with them that in that calling somehow. And maybe you don't like the weather in Canaan. Or maybe you don't know the language there. Maybe you've always hated the thought of moving. But if you go in response to the command of God, then God will bless you there. And you can go with that assurance. Jenny never planned to be the wife of a preacher. That was just not in her playbook. That was not going to happen. I'm very grateful that God led her in an unexpected direction. Sarai went with Abram, and she too became a progenitor of a nation and an ancestor of Jesus our Lord, through whom God blesses the world. More about Sarah next week. In verse 7, when Abram came into the promised land, the Lord appeared to him at Shechem, a city there, and gave him this promise: to your offspring I will give this land. That had to be reassuring to Abram, to hear God affirm his calling and add this promise to the blessing he had already spoken. If you go where God leads, God will affirm your calling along the way, just as he affirms Abram here. God will let you know you are in the right place and you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. Abram knows for sure from this moment on that he is exactly where God wants him to be. And sometimes Abram will get off track in his life. As you read through his stories in the next several chapters of Genesis, he gets off track sometimes. And sometimes we do get off track in life. But if we're looking for God's direction, like Abram was, God knows how to get us back on track. And he does that with Abram, and he does that with us. And if you go in response to God's leading, he will confirm that you are where he wants you to be. And he will keep you encouraged, and he will bless you in the place to which he has led you. In verses 6 to 9, we see Abram moving around a lot. He goes through the land of to the city of Shechem. And then he moves a little further, goes to a place east of Bethel. Then he heads south to the Negev. That just means the southern end of Canaan, later the southern end of Israel. It's not far from Egypt. Later he'll travel around more. His business was herding sheep and cattle, and so he was always moving around to find grazing land for his huge flocks and herds. But he was also moving around because he didn't have any property of his own in this new land. He was an immigrant, a foreigner, an outsider. God had promised him the land, but it wasn't his yet. So not everything went smoothly for Abram. He doesn't even receive the land as his own in his lifetime. God says it will be given to his descendants. And at one point in chapter 15, God tells Abram that it'll be 400 years before his descendants take control of the land. It'll be four centuries. And yet, even though it's going to be such a long time, Abram does not give up on God. He believes God. He continues to live by faith. And in time, he becomes the father of the nation of Israel, from whom came Jesus our Lord, through whom God blesses the world. Stay faithful, even when you're the outsider, even when things don't go perfectly in the place where God sends you. Stay faithful. Just because God sends you there doesn't mean everything or anything is going to be easy there. But hang in there, because if you go where God sends, God will bless you in due time. And the results of your faith in God may bless your descendants even more than they bless you. our own church hasn't always had an easy history. We've had ups and downs. We've had difficult times along the way. But we have always, always been blessed by the faithfulness of people all the way back to when this congregation began in 1937. And our faithfulness today may, like theirs, bless people three or four generations down the road, people we will not live to see, but who may spend eternity with our Lord, in part because of our faithfulness today. Hebrews 11, verse 8, says that by faith, Abraham obeyed and went. If you sense that God is calling you to do something you weren't planning to do, and you do it because God is Lord of your life, that's obedience to God. That's putting your faith in God and obeying Him. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went. Could you obey that call to leave security or safety or the life you've always known in order to serve God wherever He sends you? Now, for a few people, that might literally include moving to a foreign land. God sent my friends Alan and Rachel Howell to Mozambique to be missionaries there. They lived there for 15 years while I was here in Yakima. They left the security of their own culture, raised their kids in a foreign land, all because God called them to go, and then He affirmed them as they went and as they ministered there. And they just came back to the States a couple of years ago after 15 years of excellent work. For most people, a new calling from God does not include literally moving to a foreign land, but it can still be difficult and disorienting. A few years ago, Jerry and Sally Potts, part of our own church family, and I'm grateful to them for letting me share this with you in this lesson. They were moved by God to adopt their young niece, even though their own children were grown or nearly grown. And that is no easy thing, taking in a new child when you expected to be moving on to a new season of your life. But they did it because they loved God, and because they loved their niece, and because they felt called by God to do this. And so they acted by faith, just like Abraham, called in a new direction in life, leaving behind safety and stability and security to enter into this new and challenging situation. God may at any moment call us to relinquish safety and stability, to take on a life marked by unforeseeable difficulties in order to accomplish His purposes, so that through us, as through Abram and as through Jesus, God may bless the world. By faith, Abraham obeyed God. To go wherever God leads, whenever He calls, is to obey God. And obedience, as I heard a preacher say once, is the rocket fuel of faith. It engages God's power in our lives to bring about the accomplishment of God's will in our lives. And that always, always, always brings us a blessing in the long run. By faith, Abraham did not give up on God when everything didn't work out for him right away, or even in his lifetime. He never received the land as his own in his lifetime. That promise fell to his descendants, and Abraham understood that, and yet was still faithful. The writer of Hebrews says Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. The goal he was aiming for went far beyond life in the promised land or the building of a new nation. He was looking ahead to God's eternal reward, even if there was no way he could understand that reward as well as we can today. He was looking ahead to the complete accomplishment of the purposes and the promises of God. So remember Abraham. By faith, he trusted God, he obeyed God, and he went where God sent him. He stumbled a few times, but he also endured, and through him, God blessed the world. Abraham stands as a witness for us to the faithfulness and trustworthiness of our God. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses to the faithfulness of God. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and so many more. As we live by faith like they did, remember Jesus most of all, and how he, like his ancestor Abraham, went wherever God called him to go. He went even to the cross, knowing that the joy of what he would accomplish there would outweigh even the terrible suffering and shame that he would endure there. Jesus, like his ancestor Abraham, obeyed God, no matter where God sent him, and through him God blessed the world. By faith, go wherever God sends you. Go by faith. Obey God and let God, through his work in you, bless the world. And may God bless you this week. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, we offer you a simple prayer today. As you have been faithful to us in the past, we know you will be faithful to us wherever you lead us in the days ahead. Lord, just give us courage and the faith to go with you. Help us to obey you. And may we find you faithful and receive your blessing at the proper time. Lord God, help us to have the courage and the faith of Abraham, that we would go with you when you call, wherever you call us to go. Bless your church today and this week. Bless each one of us. Bless those we love who are struggling with this virus. Bless our community. Lord, we look to you this week in faith, and we present ourselves before you, Lord. Send us wherever you want us to go. We will go. In Jesus' name, amen. God be with you this week.